Kartika Vrata, which is for around the day, I discovered that people spoke about not 64 rounds, but 16 granthas. And the word grantha means a group, things gathered together in a group. That's why a book is called a grantha, because it's a bunch of leaves sewn together, so it's a grantha. But grantha means a group or a set. So in this case, four rounds is one grantha. So 64 rounds is 16 granthas. I find that easier. But we're used to chanting 16. I found it easier to think of 16 granthas. So mentally I take off and I chant four rounds, it's one. I chant four more, that's two. I told this to somebody and they said, oh, maybe you use your chanting beads in the opposite way, you know, because you have 16 and you have four. And he said, do people chant, you know, every time you use the string of the four beads for the four, to count one grantha and then you pull down a bead. But I don't think so. It could get very confusing because you have a habit of pulling down the 16, but anyway, that's what it did, 16. But everything is kind of multiplied by 4. So every time today you chant 4 rounds, it's like 1. It's the equivalent of 1 for 4. So 16 granthas is a way to think about it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that 4 have been gathered together as one grantha. Somebody really ought to figure out the mathematics of this. I think it's probably interesting. 4, 16, 64. So, of course, we've already talked about the effort to pay attention and to avoid inattentiveness while chanting, because that shows Krishna that we're interested. That also with attention, feelings will come. There's three kinds of inattentiveness been categorized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I think are based on three of the characteristics of unsteady devotional service by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So one is sleep. One way of being inattentive is falling asleep. I call this inattentiveness in the mode of ignorance. The tendency to sleep. So that's why, of course, pretty much all you can do is try to get rest. That's the best advice. And that's the time, if one gets sleepy, that's the time to stand up. If it still doesn't do the job, walk around a little bit. Also, water on the face helps keep you awake. And a regulated nap. The anxiety about 64 rounds is, will I finish in time? We have plenty of time, because you can do 64 rounds or 16 rounds in 8 hours. We have 12. So the other thing that at least I found out is you can get these rounds done with dispatch and pretty well. But what consumes time are little things, little breaks, tiny little. There's devotees who are in the habit of every time they finish a round, they have a little party, they chant some other mantras, they celebrate their achievement, they chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra before every round. You don't have to do that. Go straight through. Just plow through. you want to chant the, you know, sometime you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. That's, you know, at the very beginning. Or you can do it at the beginning of the Grantha or something. But when I come to the end of a round, even if I'm in the middle of one exhalation of a breath, I just keep going. So try to avoid those little things that we, because when you're doing a lot of rounds, cutting a little time, little time adds up, saving a little time periodically. I had a discussion with the sannyasi godbrother. He was also chanting 64 rounds at the time. We had the discussion was whether you're when you're taking an in breath, whether you can go and not lose the time. you can do it pretty well. We had a discussion about it. I don't have any conclusion on the matter, but I could understand. But if you got one mantra, you know, every time you inhale, you know, you'll see what I say. By the end of the day, you get half an hour. And remember, there are people who chant 32 grantas or 2 lakhs of things, take me back. Or even 3 lakhs of things. So you would think that you would, you know. So, but be careful about the little things. Just stopping and taking a tiny break. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there adds up. So especially nothing unnecessary. So that's just a few little things that I learned to be very careful of. Now, so sleep is one kind of so but a tiny nap if necessary. You should stop and sit just having a slumber job. The other of course is distraction. The mind going elsewhere, thinking about other things. This I call this inattentiveness in a mode of passion. We discuss that a lot. Inattentiveness while chanting. The third he calls indifference or apathy. And when Vishnu Chakravarti is saying there's no tendency to sleep and there's no distraction, still there's a kind of a lack of interest. So that's sort of in the mode of goodness. Your mind is fixed on the holy name. You're not falling asleep, you're not thinking of something else, but still it's a little bit of a chore, there's some feeling of apathy or indifference. This is also another form of pramada, of inattentiveness. So let me talk about that one a little bit. How to get increased interest, and actually, when we say you should chant with feeling, and Prabhupada has said like that, there must be some feeling. We should, it should be like the child of a cry for its mother. Well, how do you make a feeling? You know, feeling is either there or it's not. But we can do a few things that'll put us in touch with feelings, because actually we have feelings about Krishna. In fact, our most important feelings are feelings about Krishna. The most important feelings we have are feelings about our relationship with Krishna, whether we're getting closer, whether we're getting further away. And in fact, they're so heavy, a lot of times we don't like to think about them. We can get in a situation where we're open to feelings. I would put it that way. We don't really make one. And when we get open to feelings, like I was, what feelings you have, they really surprise you. But it's important that that they felt. It's so funny to think about having feelings you don't feel, but it's like that sometimes. They're then manifest as tensions, as anxieties, as compulsions that you don't know why you're doing something, and so on. So, Prabhupada, also there's a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur talking about anarthanivritti. You know, this is usually the most prolonged stage of development of the removal of anarthas. And after that, then one is fixed up in Krishna consciousness and becomes the stage of nishtha. But first, this has to be anarthanivritti, removal of unwanted things. Now, unwanted things are offenses. That's one class of unwanted things. Sins are also unwanted things. Material desires are unwanted things. Each are a little different. Not every offense is a sin, although all sins tend to be offenses. Because it's an offense to disobey the order of the spiritual master, so that covers a multitude of sins. And then the other thing are just material desires. That's not an offense. The tenth offense against the holy name is not to have material desires. That's not the offense, having material desires. It's maintaining material desires. And I think this is an important thing to look at. That I have material desires is just my unfortunate condition. And it's something that's unwanted. But just having them, I'm not offending the holy name by that. But when I maintain a material desire, then that becomes an offense against the holy name. So we will. Oh, why is it an offense? Because it's not having enough faith. In other words, if I'm maintaining a material desire, my faith in the holy name is weak. Because faith means, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that if one attains, is the strong conviction that if one attains Krishna Bhakti, Sarva Kama Tattahoy, everything else will be automatically accomplished. In other words, if I attain love of Krishna, I will be satisfied in every single department. And the holy name will deliver that to me. But if I'm maintaining a material desire, I'm thinking, I've heard people say, I want Krishna consciousness, but I don't think I can stand to be poor. or something like that. Or that the famous one is when St. Augustine, in a different tradition, said that when I was young and foolish, I prayed to the Lord, please give me chastity, but not just yet. So please give. I want Krishna consciousness, but I still have some non-negotiable material desires. Please get rid of all my material desires, but leave this one alone. We seem to have desires about desires, meta desires or something. So part of the sincerity of our prayer to Krishna is that act of faith is, I think I need this, I think I need that, I think I want to have this, but I know better. So whenever we see that our attachments are our desires, we should target them for destruction. Because we don't destroy them. I mean, Krishna destroys them, specifically Nisringadeva destroys them. But we target them, just like the forester goes to the forest and he sees certain trees and puts an X on them. But they're marked for destruction. Or the a jet fighter pilot in a high-tech war, he puts the laser pointer on a building, and then from somewhere else the missile comes. So the same way we just have to target them for destruction. So in this way, there's no offense against the holy name, and also Krishna will destroy our material desires. So we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are praying for something. It is said that when you chant a mantra, one should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. So this is, it's also a prayer in that sense. And Prabhupada writes that whenever there's a prayer, there is a request for a benediction. Said even pure devotees ask for a benediction. And then Prabhupada quotes, Mahaprabhu himself says, I'm your servant, Kinkara, but Patitam, I'm fallen. Patitam Mam. Where in this rough ocean? Meaning the material world, it's a rough ocean. Please, by your mercy, consider me as one of the motes of dust or grains of pollen clinging to your lotus feet. So this is a request. He's asking something. So we should be asking things of Krishna, but we have to know what to ask for. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. So Prabhupada gave us the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Oh my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So, first of all, that's asked. Prabhupada said it should be a cry of a child for his mother. So we should want some service from Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Oh, and a corollary. You know the word corollary? It means it's another way of saying the same thing, logically equivalent. The corollary of please engage me in your service is please disengage me with something that blocks or interferes with your service. So it's the same thing. And now we can get very specific. All of us are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, and if we're all alert, there's something, some attachment, some habit, some relationship, there's something that we will see that this is the obstacle I have to overcome. And if we're confronting that obstacle, it's a worry, it's a trouble, we want to do something about it. Or maybe an obstacle is, I have a fear. I'm getting old, will I be taken care of? Or whatever it may be, these natural kinds of worries. I don't have a husband, or I don't have a wife. These things. And those kinds of things are also interfering with our service to Krishna. Because actually, when we are fully engaged in Krishna service, we just think, whatever I need, Krishna will provide. He'll take care of me. So in this case, I will know what is the obstacle. And so I should pray, remove it. Please take care of it. Please rid me of this. And at that point, we'll find there's some feelings. We'll actually be able to beg Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, he says, that if one praise with anguish at the lotus feet of the holy name, within a few days all anarthas will be vanquished. As she says that, I meant to bring it with me, but I forgot it. He uses the word anguish. That all anarthas will be vanquished. Prabhupada also writes about this, at least the anartha nirvritti process, about praying to the Trinity. You can also, another way to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is you can think of Hare as Narahari, addressing the Trinity. He's Hare, one who takes away. So his particular service was taking away Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu is the embodiment of all material desires. He is the embodiment of karmashayam, the deep-rooted desire to enjoy in this world. And one thing is if we start to really work very hard to become aware of our desires and attachments, there's a horrifying, and try to remove them, horrifying time when you realize just how deep-rooted and how big they are. That's why, another reason why Hiranyakashipu is a symbol, because he's so big and huge and formidable. So that's where the relief comes from. We don't have to destroy those desires. Krishna does. He'll do it as the Shunyata if he can manage. So we should pray to the Shunyata, to Prabhupada writes, to sit in our hearts and destroy our Hiranyakashipu-like material desires. He says we should pray by hearing the Shunyata, the Shunyata. So we do that. We say Ridaye the Shringa, we are asking him to come into our hearts. You can also do that during japa, because sometimes you can chant the Hare Krishna mantra to the Shringa, that he's not a Hari, and then there's Krishna, the source, and then Rama is Balaram, who is also the source of all spiritual power. So that's another way of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this way, we can all our fears and anxieties and doubts about ourselves and all these other things, we can show Krishna, bring those out, and show Krishna that we are interested in making progress. And when we show Krishna that interest is there, Then he's quite eager to help us out. So this is another way of coming in touch with of chanting with feeling. And by that concentration of the mind, and by praying to the holy name. One last thing. Just something that I found myself doing. I would pray to Krishna to be engaged in service, but the service I actually wanted to be engaged in a far better way than I was now, was the service of chanting his holy name. And so I would actually, my mind was inattentive, so I'd pray to the holy name to give me the holy name, attention. So it was kind of, I was praying to the holy name, for the holy name, by means of the holy name. So that covered the locative, the ablative. The three cases are there. To the holy name, locative. For the holy name is ablative and instrumental, by means of the holy name. So sometimes you can attain a particular concentrated resets. That's because really you can ask for the immediate thing. That's the immediate difficulty in service, is my inattentiveness while chanting and wanting to chant better. And so then you're concerned exactly what you're doing right there, yeah. Okay.